Music for the quiet hours. It's just for you.
Caution. Listening to the following program may cause drowsiness.
May cause drowsiness.
Do not drive or operate heavy machinery.
This is Elevator Club.
Hello, this is Gord Bibby, and I'd like to welcome you to this very special edition of Elevator Club. Oscar Peterson is considered to be one of the greatest pianists of all times. He was born in Montreal, Quebec on August 15, 1925, and had a long and illustrious career spanning six decades, playing with many of the best-known musicians of his times. He was brought up in an atmosphere heavily influenced by the jazz culture and started playing the trumpet when he was five. However, a bout of tuberculosis forced him to stop playing trumpet and he began playing the piano. This unexpected twist of fate directed him towards what would ultimately become his life's calling. On recognizing his son's genius, his father arranged for him to attend classes with the renowned pianist Paul DeMarchi, and Oscar started performing professionally while still in high school. He was deeply influenced by the musicians Teddy Wilson, Nat King Cole, and especially Art Tatum, whom he considered his biggest inspiration. A chance meeting with the impresario Norman Granz led to not just a highly successful professional collaboration, but also a very profound personal one. Over his career, Peterson released over 200 recordings and was rightfully called the Maharaja of the keyboard. He collected 8 Grammy Awards, including one for Lifetime Achievement in 1997. Oscar Peterson passed away at age 82 on December the 23rd, 2007. Now, there is little this program could add to the glowing reviews, accolades, and praise that followed Oscar Peterson throughout his career. His technical virtuosity and artistry has been well documented. So I set out to explore the personal side of Oscar as an artist and family man. I reached out to Oscar's fourth wife, Kelly Peterson, whom Oscar met in 1981 and who was his devoted and loving partner until his death in 2007. Together, they had a daughter, Celine, who was a producer, artist representative, and social media manager working out of Toronto. Kelly produced a compilation album of her husband's previously unreleased compositions back in 2017, entitled Oscar with Love. Included are performances by a who's who of jazz greats, including Monty Alexander, Lance Anderson, Kenny Barron, Bill Charlap, Chick Corea, Benny Green, Oliver Jones, Michelle Legrand, Ramsey Lewis, Audrey Morris, and many others. Kelly agreed to an interview to offer some insight into who Oscar was as a husband, father, and worldwide celebrity. We talked about how she met Oscar, their daughter Celine, Oscar's Busendorf Piano, and the Oscar with Love Project. I spoke with Kelly recently on October the 15th via Zoom from her office in Toronto. First of all, I want you to relate the story of how you and Oscar met, because I think that's such a romantic story.
It's kind of like a fairy tale, isn't it? At least that's how it's a Cinderella story, sort of. So I had been a fan of Oscar's, had grown up listening to his music because my parents loved jazz and played Oscar and Duke Ellington, Count Basie, Louis Armstrong. Maynard Ferguson was played in our house as well. So there was a lot of jazz being played in the house. I grew up in New Jersey, not far from New York City. But then my family moved to Rochester, New York when I graduated from high school for my dad's work. So a few years later, the year I graduated from university, Oscar and Joe Pass were doing one of their duo concerts in Rochester. My mother and brother and I went to that concert. We were all really excited to finally get to hear Oscar play in person. And I'll never forget that concert. It was really magical and wonderful. Then later that same year, I moved to New York City because that's where I wanted to live and I wanted to work in theater there. So while I was there, the Newport Jazz Festival had had some years during the 70s and early 80s when they were in New York rather than Newport, Rhode Island. And during the Jazz Festival, the following summer after I had moved to New York, I, you know, being poor, struggling young actor, could only afford one concert for the Jazz Festival and opted, of course, to go hear Oscar play, which was, again, a fabulous experience and very, very memorable. And so that was fine. That was great. Two concerts, and I was just thrilled. 4 years later, I was living in Sarasota, Florida, and had just become a manager. I had been waiting tables in a restaurant and had just been promoted to manager. It was February of 1981, winter season in Florida, which means, you know, everybody, all hands on deck because it's all busy. But Oscar was coming to Sarasota to play at the Van Wezel Concert Hall. And it was a Saturday night. And of course, I could not take the night off work. And very disappointed because I just thought, oh, I'm missing this concert and wanted to go so badly. However, as it turns out, Oscar does not eat dinner before he plays a concert and needed somewhere to have dinner after the concert was over. We were the only restaurant in Sarasota that served food till 1 o'clock in the morning. And that was because of liquor laws, and we kept our bar open because we had a little trio playing in the restaurant. So Oscar's son was his road manager and was checking for a place to eat and said to Oscar, the story that Oscar relayed to me later was, OJ said, well, the French restaurant will stay open for you, but there's a fish restaurant called Charlie's Crab and they serve food till 1 o'clock. And Oscar said, a French restaurant in Sarasota? I'll go for fish. So he walked in to the restaurant and I was at the host stand and greeted the two of them and took them to their table. And that's how we met. And I know that had I gone to the concert, I would not have met him because I would not have gone backstage to say hello or anything. I would have just gone to the concert. So at any rate, throughout the time that they were there for dinner, I was periodically checking to make sure everything was all right. And Oscar said, sit and have a drink. And I said, well, no. I'm working and I'm also making sure that you're not being disturbed by other guests of the restaurant. I did tell him that I was a fan and that I had been to concerts before and especially the one in New York a few years previously. So as he was leaving the restaurant to go back to his hotel, he handed me a business card with his phone number handwritten on it and said, if you want to come to my concert in New York this year, call me collect and come and be my guest, which I thought was extremely charming and polite and kind and all of that, and never would have presumed it to be a sincere invitation. I just was happy about the idea. Well, he started calling the restaurant, and he was on tour in Europe and would call and tell me about the tour and ask me about my day and all of that. So, and he kept saying, are you going to come to New York? So finally, I said, well, yeah, I'd love to. And that would be, yes, that would be great. So like just a couple of days before I was leaving, and I had arranged for everything, for all my work to be covered by colleagues and all that sort of thing. And I went into the office to tell my boss, the general manager of the restaurant, that I would be gone. I would only miss one day of work because it was the July 4th holiday weekend, and the restaurant was closed for part of that time. And my boss looked at me and he said, no, Kelly, you can't go. I'm not gonna let you go. You can't have that day off. And I said, excuse me? He said, no, you can't go. And I just looked at him and I said, okay, well then fire me because I'm going anyway. I'm not missing this. I did not get fired. I had a job when I got back and I went to New York and we had a wonderful 4 days in New York with Oscar, where he took me to hear other pianists in clubs. We went to hear Hank Jones play, and we went to hear Junior Mans play, and we went out to lovely dinners. and then, of course, his concert at Carnegie Hall. So it was a magical time, and I really had a great time. He was a wonderful gentleman, and at the end said, "Will you come and see me again?" And I said, "I would love to." So the relationship then started to grow from there.
Well, isn't that amazing? That's almost a romantic movie script. Yeah. Oh, that's tremendous. Well,
talk about a meet cute.
Oscar Peterson with arrangement by Klaus Obermann and Antonio Carlos Jobim's Wave. He makes it sound so easy, doesn't he? After the break, we'll speak with Kelly Peterson about Oscar the Man and also learn a little bit about their daughter, Celine. That's coming up right after this.
You're spending a Sunday evening with Gord Bibby and Elevator Club.
Indeed you are, and we are featuring a very special episode of Elevator Club entitled Oscar with Love. We are in conversation with Oscar's wife, Kelly, as we return and talk a little bit about Oscar the Man as well as their daughter, Celine.
I've never obviously met Oscar. I'm familiar with his music, but he strikes me as he was a very kind man, a very giving man. Could you tell us a bit about Oscar the man? I know he was a fisherman and he loved to cook.
He was very kind, very warm, very humble, down to earth. Did love to fish. He especially fly fishing, which he did daily whenever we were at the cottage and it wasn't raining. He would be out on the on his boat fly fishing and telling me about how to look for where the fish were going to bite, all that sort of thing. He loved it. He loved fishing. He also really enjoyed cooking. Oscar loved food and he loved going to fine restaurants, and life was full of those experiences. In the early years when we were on the road and it was so hectic and the tours would really be from one city to the next day after day after day with hardly a day off in between, I remember saying to my mother, wow, it's just crazy. She was saying, you're getting to go to all these places. And I said, yeah, but it's not like you think. I'm not sightseeing. And it was the philosophy that I had as well. If all you see are concert halls and hotels and restaurants, you're still experiencing the travel. Then there were other times where we would spend more time in certain cities like London and Paris and Munich, and I would get to go out walking and sightseeing and enjoying things, and Oscar would show me a lot of different things and go to museums, that sort of thing. At any rate, he was interested in technology like crazy, always looking for the next gadget and interested in learning constantly. His studio was full of synthesizers and the latest musical equipments. That helped him with his composing because it made it instead of having to sit with pencil and paper, he could play something on one of the synthesizers and record it. And also then he was with all the advent of synthesis, he had a lot of different sounds at his fingertips and he could practically arrange the things that he wrote. Because he could add the strings, he could add voices, he could add bass and drums and guitar and trumpets and, you know, woodwinds. So that was really wonderful for him. He had a lot of fun with cooking and trying new recipes. We'd go to dinner and he'd say, I want to try making that. And we'd go home and try and make it and it turned out really well. And he had a fabulous sense of humor. And was also quite a practical joker. So life was never dull. but basically what I tell people is he exuded joy. I mean, he filled a room with his presence. It's hard to describe in words what that felt like. And certainly what it felt like to be at a concert. If you haven't been at a concert in person to experience that level of electricity and excitement that comes from the excellence of Oscar and his group and the incredible level of talent and musicianship, it's hard to describe. But there was always like a tingling in the air for that. And at home, he would be relaxed and comfortable and playful and just exuding joy all the time.
What an
environment. He did have his moments. You know, everybody has their moments they're not always happy.
Yeah.
Even so, it was still his nature to be interested in learning things and talking and sharing and happy.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about Celine, because she's quite a talented young gal. Doesn't play piano, apparently. Which I find surprising. I thought Oscar's daughter would learn the piano, but...
Well, everyone thinks that, which is why her program is called that, because everyone asks her and expects that she would play. But Oscar, in his infinite wisdom, would not teach her himself, because he knew that that parent teaching their child is not the best thing. And yes. And she was interested, and she took lessons. She wanted to learn, and she took lessons for a couple of years, and Oscar's sister taught her, actually. But it really wasn't her interest. It wasn't her passion. So she didn't pursue it. And instead, she loves listening and being the listener to music. She also really, well, she does, she learned so much because we traveled together as a family, which I know helped Oscar be able to stay out on the road longer than he otherwise might have and perform longer, particularly after his stroke. So she witnessed a lot. And what she loves doing is she's a social media whiz kid, just so good at social media and promoting things via social media. She boggles my mind with what she knows and what she can do and how well she does it all. But also she represents some musicians as their manager, and she promotes concerts and produces concerts on her own and does her radio program where she's playing a lot of music that she loves. And so she's got quite a variety of things that she does, all very creative. And again, all with great joy and passion. And the perspective that she brings when she presents concerts or manages artists and negotiates contracts for them is she knows what it means to be the performing artist. She knows what that life is like. So I think that the artists she represents really appreciate that from her. She also has inherited her father's sense of humor and gives me a hard time sometimes because, you know, she's a tease.
Well, you must be very proud of her.
So. I am very proud of her.
Yeah, she's quite a feisty gal. I've been on her Facebook page.
Oh, she doesn't hold back.
No, that's great.
She's very much a person of her convictions, sure. And lets people know it. We occasionally disagree on things, you know, but she's her own person, and she needs to be. And that was our goal always, was never to have her in a shadow, but to have her finding her own way, doing the things that she's passionate about.
Little girl, you're the one girl for me. Little girl, you're as sweet as can be. Just a glance at you meant love from the start. Oh, what a thrill came into my heart. Little girl, with your cute little ways, I'm yours for the rest of my days. And this great big world will be divine, little girl, when you're mine, all mine. You're as sweet as can be. Just a glance at you meant love from the start. Oh, what a thrill came into my heart. Little girl, with your cute little ways, I am yours for the rest of my days, and this great big world will be divine. Little girl, little girl, when you're mine, all mine.
The Oscar Peterson Trio with vocal by Oscar himself, Little Girl. Later on, I asked Kelly why Oscar didn't record more vocals. I think you'll find her answer quite remarkable. So stay tuned. After the break, Kelly Peterson relates the story of Oscar's piano, the Bussendorfer. That's coming up right after this.
Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, life's much better listening to Elevator Club.
Tell us a bit about the, and I hope I pronounce this correctly, is it the Bussendorfer?
Well, that's piano? That's close. It's the actual German pronunciation is Bussendorfer.
Bussendorfer, oh, okay.
Yeah, all with right. A brr from the umlaut over the O. Oscar's piano is Bussendorfer Imperial. And that model is the one that has an extra octave at the lower end of the piano. So it's got 97 keys instead of 88. And it's 9.5 feet long. So Oscar was performing in Vienna in the late 70s. And at that point, he had been playing Steinway. But the Bussendorfer is based in Vienna. And they provided the piano for his concert. And he just loved it. I mean, he later told about going back on stage after the audience was all gone so that he could play the piano more because he enjoyed, and he never did that. After a concert, he was finished, mm-hmm. you know, but he just was enjoying it so much. And the managers of the company were in the audience. And so he met them and told them how much he loved the piano and that he really would love to have one. And they said, well, the next time you're in Vienna, come and choose one, which he did. And in 1981, that piano, The Imperials take 15 months to make because they're all handmade. And that's after the wood has been drying for 7 years. So his piano was completed in 1981 and moved into the house in Mississauga that year.
And that must have been a chore.
Yeah, well, and I wasn't there, but I was there when it moved out of that house, and it was scary. My really scary anxiety time, the piano going out down the stairs, the back door, through the backyard, and then up a hill. They needed two teams of piano movers because the piano is so heavy and big. But Oscar loved it. He loved the action of the piano, and he loved the extra octave, which he would use, but also even without playing those notes, they would add depth, they would add richness to the sound when he played them. On their own, they weren't really an appealing sound, but when you add them into everything else, it's incredible. But also, just because they're there, those strings are really long, and then they resonate, so you get all the other overtones.
I understand he tried out a few of them before he chose the one that he wanted.
Yes,
so he could tell a difference in tones between the different...
Absolutely. Each one would feel different and sound different. And he was actually in the factory showroom with his bassist at the time, Niels Henning Orsted Pedersen, the Dane. And Niels could play the piano also. And Niels was going and trying them out. And Oscar was on the first or second piano. And Niels came and said, hey, there's one down the line. And Oscar said, don't tell me. Let me find it myself. And when Oscar got to that one, it was the same one that Niels had said. And Oscar said, okay, this is it. And the Bussendorfer president said, well, no, you have to keep trying them all. We want you to keep trying them all. And Oscar said, oh, but this is the one. And they said, no, keep going. So he tried a few more, and then he went back to that one. And he would try a couple more and go back to that one. And he finally said, no, this is the one that I want. And they said, that's very interesting, because this piano is the one that we have used a new technology on for voicing and tuning. And it's kind of like a truth machine. that they had just developed. So it made it so that the voicing of the instrument and the tuning was just absolutely perfect. And that's the piano that Oscar selected.
Oh, for gosh sake, that's fascinating. Really is.
So, and the piano technician who worked with me for taking care of the piano that whole time that we were recording Oscar Would Love was in Vienna at that time and there the day that Oscar chose his piano, because he was working in Vienna training to be a Bösendorfer technician.
Oh.
And had become the technician and was working on all the pianos at the factory.
So you
so
had
it's kind of like full circle, you know?
Yeah, and you had him come in and check the piano out, I guess.
Yeah, well, he had been taking care of the piano for Oscar regularly, coming to tune it and make sure it was okay. And then for this project, I just said to him, I'm going to need you every day that we're recording, you know, so we can get the piano tuned for each artist. And he said, absolutely. So in the book, you would see his picture, especially the one with our dog Smedley across his lap.
But I think he recommended that the piano had to be played, right? Because it wasn't getting played.
Yeah, well, he wasn't the one. It was the head technician from Vienna had come to Toronto for some meetings. Yamaha, in the interim, had bought Bösendorfer. And the head technician from Vienna was in Toronto and said, I would like to go and see Mr. Peterson's piano and, you know, give it a really good once over. Even though George had always done that, this man, you know, said, I would like to. And he came and he's the one who said, it's really in fabulous condition, but it needs to be played.
Thank you.
Oliver Jones playing Oscar Peterson's Celine's Waltz on Mr. Peterson's Busendorfer piano. And that's from the Oscar with Love collection. And we'll talk with Kelly Peterson about the Oscar with Love project right after this.
Beautiful music with cherished memories. This is Elevator Club.
The head technician from Vienna was in Toronto and said, I would like to go and see Mr. Peterson's piano and, you know, give it a really good once over. Even though George had always done that, this man, you know, said, I would like to. And he came and he's the one who said, it's really in fabulous condition, but it needs to be played.
And that inspired you, I take it, to create the Oscar with Love albums.
Yes, it did. I mean, the first thing it inspired me to do was to call Robbie Botosh and say, who's living in Toronto, a fabulous pianist and who had become a friend. And I said, Robbie, you need to come to my house once a week and practice. He said, I can't do that. No. And I said, yeah. Well, of course he couldn't, but he did come a few times. And then I'd been trying to figure out what to do for introducing the world to more of Oscar's compositions. And I had a few different recording ideas in mind, but one of them was, you know, to have other pianists record his compositions. And with that thought of the piano needing to be played, then I thought, well, since I've never made a record, never produced a recording before, I don't quite know how to go about it. And at the same time, I had been introduced to a wonderful recording engineer, Blaise Favre, who lives in Switzerland, who was a dear friend of a very dear friend of Oscar's and mine, named Jacques Mial, a man who also had worked with Norman Granz. Jacques introduced me to Blaise. And so I thought, well, and Blaise was working part of the time in Canada and part of the time in Switzerland. So I thought, what if we just have pianists come to our house and use Oscar's piano? And we have, you know, our friends who just happen to be the greatest living jazz pianists, have them come and record Oscar's compositions on Oscar's piano. How hard could that be? Well, a friend of mine later said, you know, Kelly, this was probably the most complicated project you could start with because of all the logistics of getting everybody there and moving people in and out and all of that. But it didn't seem like it. We had a great time. And actually, I've been reminded by memories cropping up on social media, you know, that it was 7 years ago this week that we started.
Is that right?
Oda Ozone was first on Thanksgiving Sunday in 2014. Thank you.
with me in the gentle rain. Don't be afraid, I've a hand for your hand, and I will be your love for a
Oscar Peterson and Singers Unlimited with Luis Bonfa's Gentle Rain. And before that, we heard from Makoto Ozoni, music from the Oscar with Love collection, and that was Oscar Peterson's The Contessa. After the break, and in the second hour of the program, Kelly Peterson will continue with her story about the Oscar with Love project, and more music from Oscar Peterson on this very special edition of Elevator Club, Oscar with Love.